Greetings, Afropussy, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Afropop Nothing Podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And very special guest.
So, Salsa, I don't know if there's a lag thing happening again.
I think there's a lag thing happening.
Yeah. Like, James and I are in the same space. I think Steve's in the same space as us, but us getting to you seems to be
Cause,
a little laggy.
Because it took, there was like, you could have, you know, given birth between when I said my name and James said his name.
Could have parked a bus in there. Yeah, it was less than a second.
You could have given birth between when James said, with your hosts, and you said your name. That's what it sounded like to us.
Salsa, I'll tell you what. Jenna, Steve, and I will just...
So anyway, we're going to hang out with Steve today. Oh, I'm
sorry. Yeah. We'll record our podcast.
I was anticipating the end of that sentence is what I was doing.
Actually, it doesn't matter. We actually have to anticipate for you because all the recording is happening on your end.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
So if we're talking over each other, then... It's all going to come through. But, like, if you say a thing and then, like, there's a long pot, that's what we're going to hear.
So we all have to wait 5 seconds before answering is what you're saying.
No, we have to answer 5 seconds before the question.
Yeah, we have to know what Salt is going to ask.
Which is easy.
Blue.
Hockey.
Blue.
Yes,
hockey.
I also watched Taskmaster. It was quite good.
Yeah, no, it was.
Hey, everybody, what are you drinking?
British, you say.
I'm drinking cider. Specifically, I'm drinking Duluth Ciders. Where's the label? Apricot. Apricot berry, I think. Apricot berry.
Oh.
I'm drinking Duluth Ciders apricot berry. And it's all berry colored and stuff.
It is.
Oh.
Quite shiny.
That is a lovely color.
And it is delicious as well. So, who's next?
Excellent.
Well, Steve's is about the same color.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm drinking a Major Melon Mountain Dew.
Ooh.
Out of a stemmed mason jar.
There's a melon Mountain Dew.
I love that this is what Salsa is.
Yeah, it's like a
chosen
watermelony kind of thing.
Interesting.
It's.
I have not heard of this.
I saw it at the store and bought it, and it's Melon Mountain Dew.
Huh.
I mean, I will have to give that a go.
It's not bad.
I'm not opposed.
It's worth trying for your own experience.
Yeah.
I have had better Mountain Dews. Because there's apparently like 10 million different types of Mountain Dews.
Right.
There are now, yeah.
Making different shades of neon and calling it new.
As long as it glows in the dark, we can label it Mountain Dew.
Right.
And sell it.
I'm apparently really...
Hey, Steve,
I'm apparently really...
Where did you get a stemmed mason jar?
Okay, sure.
Okay, to clarify, I got a stemmed mason jar from my sister. I figured I'd put that all in there so that everybody could actually decipher what was actually happened.
Good.
Yes. She got me two for a birthday present 1 year. This is the first time I've used it in years, simply to irritate Salsa a little bit from using a mason jar.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's a stemmed mason jar, so it's fancy.
Yes. I've been lambasted by Salsa for drinking out of mason jars.
And as they say, Melon Mountain Dew is the champagne of Mountain Dews.
To be fair, it's less about the mason jar and more about you, James.
That's accurate. Does it help that I backed it in?
What?
What did you back in?
Now you're all concerned.
You're
all angry now.
Don't answer that.
Salsa has left. We have free reign of the podcast.
No king, no king. La 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 la.
And they're fools. There will be a king.
I have the conch.
Anyway, so I'm drinking some raspberry iced tea, because I still had some in my fridge, Steve. Side tangent, we went grocery shopping yesterday, and they were out of my raspberry iced tea. Wow. And then I went to go get creamer, and they were out of my creamer.
Jesus.
It was so upsetting. I had nervous breakdown.
Try to get something else. And
yeah, I think it was like 3 out of 5 items on my shopping list were just completely gone. And I'm like, what the fuck?
She went to get the toilet paper, and somebody punched her.
Jessa was like, was there just like a crowd of Jennas that came through here before we got here?
Wait, okay, hang on. I don't think Jennas are a crowd. I think there's a different animal group name, and I'm not 100% sure
on it. It's a spreadsheet of
Jennas. Is it a project? Ooh, a spreadsheet. Okay.
Yes.
That's clearly the correct answer.
And I will say it is a north suburb, so the amount of Jennas that...
Yeah, no. There could have been
all the cupcakes you have.
This is rather terrifies me because I thought one Jenna was quite enough. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I live in a county accurate. Of Jenna's.
So, for
so
me,
anyway, to finish though, so I have raspberry tea with honey whiskey in it.
Ooh. Oh, dang.
Yeah.
I thought you were just having raspberry iced tea, which is fine, but then with honey whiskey. Oh, hot dang.
And how?
This is a solid plan.
So it's like a hot toddy without the hot.
Right.
Right.
It's an iced
tea. I mean, whiskey iced tea, whiskey lemonade on a hot day on a front porch is amazing, and I highly recommend it.
Excellent.
I made limoncello, and I was sipping that on a hot day yesterday, and that was pretty fancy.
Ooh.
Pretty fucking
fancy. Yeah.
You know what would make it fancier?
A stemmed
mason jar.
No, you're absolutely right. It would.
Accurate.
I was drinking directly from my cupped hands, so yes, the mason jar would definitely make it a lot
also
fancier.
Also stemmed for some reason?
Yes, to my stemmed cupped hands.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're called arms, James.
Oh, my mistake. Not salsa.
Or forearms, if you're fancy.
Oh.
Forearms? Where'd you get the other two? All right.
I'll never tell.
So anyway,
you can't
what are you
prove
drinking,
anything
James?
In court.
I am drinking another limited release from Venn Brewing Co. This one is Fruitality Blueberry Basil Smoothie Beer with blueberries, basil, lactose, and vanilla. Not sour.
Aw.
Well, that's good.
We're about to find out.
Wait, you haven't even opened it yet?
It's been tapped.
Do you know how much time we spend on the podcast waiting for people to open their drinks? Me included, honestly.
Oh, wow.
So, how is it?
That's fucking delicious. Salsa, as an apology for our friendship, I will get you one of these.
You know what? It gets me beer, so I don't even care.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I this week
you
set up a play tower in our yard.
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah. I saw pictures.
I told the story a couple weeks ago about getting the thing and tearing it down. In the intervening time, we got a power washer and washed the fuck out of that. And holy fuck, is it gratifying to use a power washer?
Whoa, yeah.
Like,
on anything, really.
Isn't it so much... Like, I haven't used one in 20-plus years, and it just felt good to use that power washer to clean. Because these boards were grimy. Like, they were grimy.
Sure.
So we cleaned the whole thing up, and we sealed it with a sealer. And then on Saturday, we had my sister's... my wife's sister and her husband over to help assemble the thing. Because we helped them tear apart their old deck, and so it was just like, yeah, we'll help you do this thing. And it took us about right. 4 hours to tear down, and it took us about 2.5 to put up. So we went pretty quick. You know, we had a couple extra hands, and so it went together pretty fast. But
we're closer to the charger.
Oh my god!
No, I mean like actually, the first time
the power tools, yeah.
your drills ran out of batteries.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, I see what you're okay.
Sorry, like it sounds like I'm making a joke, but I
no,
it's
no,
so
you're
hard
not.
To tell with
but
you.
If, it was from it, yeah. it was so far back in our histories of.
All right.
But I love enough. How you pay attention to things like that.
Because I certainly don't.
No, but doesn't know what we said 5 minutes ago.
But the whole thing went up.
That's not just the leg.
The whole thing went up really quickly, and we were very thankful to mm-hmm. to my sister-in-law and her husband and for helping out with that. And the kids love it. They fucking love it. They enjoy
excellent.
It.
Excellent.
They are over the moon.
Yeah.
They have this tower, and it's tall, and it's got a slide. And they decided on Sunday, they woke up in the morning before my wife and I were awake, and they went outside, and they decided that they were going to spend the entire day outside in the tower.
And you and your wife were like, oh, darn.
No, we were like, awesome. So my wife left. She left...
I think the leg is affecting sarcasm. That's...
No, I just ignore your sarcasm at this point, James. No, my wife left. She went to her sister's graduation from law school because even though she graduated a year ago, she hasn't had a ceremony because COVID. So she finally had her graduation ceremony from law school. And then she went and hung out with the Fondazzi ladies.
Okay.
For meetups and conversations about costuming and things like that. So my wife was basically
lady
gone.
Lady fire tea time?
What's that?
Lady fire tea time?
Exactly. So she was basically gone all day, and the kids were outside in the tower all day, which worked perfect for me because I sat on the couch all day and watched the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I was about to say, you had the best fucking day you've had.
Oh, I did.
Ages,
no,
huh?
I was in my pajamas on the couch watching hockey all day, and it was the best. And so it got to be lunchtime, and I made the kids a sack lunch so they could bring it out to the tower and have their picnic in the tower. And then it got to be dinner time, and I grilled brats, and we ate outside on the patio so the kids could stay outside. And they did it. They stayed outside all day, and it was bedtime. I came outside, and I said, good news, it is time for you to get your pajamas, which means you have successfully spent the day outside. And they were so proud of themselves that they didn't even, you know, complain that it was time for them to go to bed, which was great because they crashed hard.
Yeah.
I would too.
Say, did they actually get their pajamas on?
Oh, yeah, no, they did, but yeah, they were out. So it was a fantastic day, and I got to watch, like I said, I got to watch the Stanley Cup playoffs. The series started on Saturday, and the Wild won game one. Which was a fantastic game that went to overtime.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly enjoying that. The fact that we have a team that's good enough to win games in the playoffs, which is ridiculous at this point. We should find out what the Magicians play schedule looks like soon. So.
There's a team called the Magicians these days?
Yes. There's a team called the Magicians that I work for.
I am way far behind than my...
No, I actually...
Yeah, you haven't been...
Is it the Richfield?
It's the Minnesota Magicians. I actually work for them.
Cool.
So I will find out what our playoff schedule looks like in the next coming days because we did make it to the playoffs this year, so...
Hot damn.
Yeah, so that's what I did.
I think it's you. I think you're good luck. Not for yourself. but for others.
I don't know. I worked with him for 10 plus years.
James, you worked That's with true. Me. You should know better.
Yeah, I got a different job. You were great luck.
That is true. He did eventually leave.
I mean, legitimately. Yeah.
And man, Salsa couldn't get out. He tried.
Seriously.
Kicked him out, then they took him back.
Mm-hmm. Then fired me
they
again.
Said, they called him up and said, "I'm sorry, baby, I didn't mean what I said."
Oh, God.
What about y'all?
Story of my life.
Steve and I got our second vaccination shots.
Woo!
Yeah, and then I had every single fucking side effect that they listed.
Mm-hmm.
Including death? Including all the ones. Huh?
Including
okay,
death?
Okay, not death.
Death is not one of the
although, that's not... I don't think that's a side effect of the... Yeah. Vaccine.
They usually list death as one of the possible side effects of pretty much any vaccine.
Well, they also list it as a side effect of apples, but if it's not in the top 20, they don't say it during the commercial.
When was the last time you saw an advertisement for apples?
Anytime a new one comes out. Oh!
I get this, and I don't want to.
You mean like when they invented Honeycrisp?
No, like sure. The iMac.
Sure, honey. That's
apples, not
I mean.
Apples. Yeah. James is literally comparing apples to apples.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. So anyway, yeah. Yeah, I was real bad. I was real fucking bad. Mm. I had fever and chills at the same time. I woke up in a puddle of my own sweat.
Ugh.
Twice. I slept for 14 hours and then took a nap. I was out of it. I had a headache both in the front of my head and the back of my head because why the fuck not? One of the things they list is for those with uteruses, specifically those who menstruate, that you might have more difficulties with that, and I sure did. I haven't had that kind of pain since like Braxton Hicks. Like, it was unpleasant. Yeah, like just everything, and I was still having issues on Saturday even, and we got the shot on Tuesday.
Wow.
I'm glad you're feeling better now.
Yeah, mostly, yeah.
All I have to say is it sucks to be you.
Oh, piss off. No, my body just, like, overreacts. I just overreact. Mm-hmm. This is just...
Jenna doesn't do anything halfway.
I really don't, no. No.
Yeah.
So
my
and then,
experience was a little bit better.
Yeah.
Like my body overreacts, but also does it to the point where it actually succeeds.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Jenna's just overreacts, but keeps on going after. So I slept for like 40 out of 48 hours, waking up occasionally to get hydrated. And to realize that I had chills and muscle aches, and then go back to bed. Mind you, I also have the luxury of doing that, not having to worry about work
That's
and
true. Silly
things like that.
Although I had taken the day off of work after the vaccine, the original shot, because
mm-hmm.
I just had a sneaking suspicion.
Yeah.
So I actually took off tentatively. Like my out of office was like, I will tentatively be out of the office on Wednesday. So if I don't respond, that's why. Yeah. And then I did work on Thursday. And by that, I mean, I logged onto my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's
As long as you're looking at the screen, you're working, right?
I wasn't horribly effective. I did actually have two meetings that day, and one of them I even had a talk in. So, you know, like,
Do you remember any of them, though?
Nope.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
No, one of them was one-on-one with my boss, and he's like, so how you doing? And I was like, oh, buddy. I'm like, I'm at about 60%. And he's like, well, that's better than zero.
It's I'm like, you are better than most people's 100% is.
So, yeah, no, I do vaguely remember having that conversation. But, yeah, no, that was pretty much my week. Joe and I finished watching Lucifer.
Ah.
Oh, my God, that cliffhanger. I'm so angry. And the next episodes don't come out for another 2 weeks. Like, oh, I'm so angry. Like, okay, let me give a mini review of Lucifer. Oh, this is interesting. Okay, well, I'm wading through a little bit of stuff. Oh, dear God, the slog of season 3. What the fuck? I can actually call out the murderer in the first 5 minutes of every episode. What the hell?
Oh, yeah.
And then Netflix picked it up, and it got way better. It's still not anything grandiose or miraculous. It's not anything poignant that I'm going to take away lifelong lessons from. But it did get way better after Netflix picked it up. So.
Fair enough.
And illegal cliffhanger. So, yep.
Illegal cliffhanger?
That's my summary. Illegal. It's such... I want to know what happens next so badly that I have been accosted by this cliffhanger. It is assault. And
so
it is
emotional distress involved.
Yes.
That was like The Next Generation when Data went back in time.
That's every season ending to Next Generation. Or the cliffhanger. Look, you just...
Yeah. Yep.
Usually involving either Lore or Q. Yeah.
Wasn't there an episode where Picard was like, Q, did you do this? And Q was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. All right, bye.
Gone. Yeah, basically, yeah.
I think the worst
that was the season opener, and
I think the worst cliffhanger for me was on Cheers when Norm got fed up and got a rope.
Oh God! Wow. did not watch.
Is that a real thing?
No,
or?
No.
Jesus, man!
Oh, that was Dulce's idea of humor.
Yes.
Oh,
and gallows humor.
Yes, very gallows. Literally gallows humor.
Yeah.
Because Cliff was annoying.
Oh.
Should have laid off the Cliff bars and had a Snickers.
Oh no, I get it now, and I'm sad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a cliffhanger, huh?
I do get this joke. Salsa, I'm proud of you. You should not be proud of yourself.
God, if you're proud of me, I'm not. Time for me to drink myself into a stupor.
Fuck.
We won't notice the difference.
Who are you people? What are you doing in my living room?
We're not in your... Okay, never mind. And then, that was... pretty much my week. Steve, Jess, and I got vaccinated, and I watched Lucifer with Joe.
All right.
Yep. Very exciting. Wait. Here's an excitement. I'm back in my apartment.
Yes.
Woo!
Duly noted.
Yeah. Listeners might actually be able to hear me now.
Yeah, they can.
So, Yeah, no, I have slowly worked my way back into my apartment. I'm actually having a pretty good amount of anxiety right now.
Mm-hmm.
Excitement. But I have not seen any signs of mice. I just keep hearing things every once in a while, and it freaks me out for no good reason. So, but I'm here. I spent the night here last night.
Wow.
That was a deal.
That is actually brave. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm in my apartment. I have all of my screens for work again.
As you can tell, I've grown up from when I was a teenager because I'm not making random mouse noises.
Thank you, Steve.
How you were able to spend this night out at Fest is beyond me.
Oh, buddy. Lots of alcohol is involved.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that how everybody spends the night out at Fest?
Yeah, but for a different reason.
No, some people are also high.
There is also a little bit of a difference in mice being outside when you're camping, because that's where mice belong, is outside.
Yeah, you're in their sanctum, not vice versa.
Yeah, and there it's massively different when they attack my own safe space.
Hmm. Yeah.
You can also pretend that the tent itself is an invisible barrier that mice can't get through.
Yes. And don't you dare fucking tell me otherwise.
Well, it is.
I don't care. Don't.
So okay. There's a difference between mice and the potential that mice can actually get into your territory.
Mm. Yeah.
It's okay to invade their territory. They just can't invade our territory.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean, to be fair, they could set traps.
Yes.
Just Jenna walks out, and there's just a giant square of glue immediately outside.
No, James. Jenna walks out, and the
15 festies are just stuck to it.
No, James.
A few pretzels sprinkled in the middle.
Jenna walks out, and there is a square of red glue that is a millimeter by a millimeter.
Also funny.
Yep.
Yeah, it's got a food book in the middle.
God damn it.
Even though it's a millimeter by a millimeter, there are 20 festies stuck to it.
Yep.
And if you really want to get them, you throw an entire points package on there and you're...
Ooh.
I believe I'm stuck right now.
To your chair? Wow. Gross.
It was a real good joke.
Yeah. Mm.
Ah. Mm-hmm. No, there is a little bit of a difference between, like, because mice belong outdoors.
Sure.
They belong outdoors and not in my house. That's like a thing that I'm able to set up, right? And I've even gone camping and, like, watched mice outside from a distance, like, doing their thing. But, like... Yeah, it is definitely, there's a different thing when they're in my space.
I'm pretty sure we've described Western colonialism here.
One more time?
I'm pretty sure we just described Western colonialism here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm quite positive.
We can see them from a distance. If they start invading our space, that we took from them.
Mickey Mouse destiny.
Oh, God. Steve, you missed it a couple weeks ago when I told the story of my Mickey Mouse nightmare.
As long as I still get to have Teddy Ruxpin give your eulogy, we're fine.
I'll be dead. I won't care.
Nope.
You do whatever you want at that point. They can't get me then. Mm-hmm. It's too late.
Fair enough. Well, and plus, if you get up in the afterlife and you find that Teddy Ruxpin is there, what's he going to do? Kill you? Like, I have a feeling that things are going to be a lot less terrifying in the afterlife.
I mean, hopefully. Unless
yes,
I go to the afterlife and Teddy Ruxpin is in hell, and I'm in hell with Teddy Ruxpin.
I thought that Tickle Me Elmos were bad, but sort of harmless until I saw one being burned, and that is horrifying, like actually horrifying. Yes, Salsa.
Hmm? Did I time those right?
Maybe.
The dings?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were trying to time those.
Was I too early?
I don't know what you were timing them to.
To the Fast Five.
Oh, because...
Oh, he's attempting more humor.
Oh, yeah. My God. Oh, fucking A. Shit. That's awful. God damn it.
We'll let you know in a few minutes.
We won't have any other options.
We're bouncing this off of Jupiter real quick. It'll get to eventually.
Yeah, we can get pictures from Mars in 14 minutes, but it takes 8 hours for the Olympics to come across the pond. That's...
Oh, my God. So anyway, hey James, what have you been up to?
I went on outdoor adventures this last weekend. I went on a couple of in-person dates with fully vaccinated people, which was super, super thrilling. But I also just needed to be outside. So I went geocaching for the first time in my life.
I would think that's a thing you'd be into.
It kind of is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you cache any geos?
Yes. Yeah. A metro, another metro, and a third metro. Oh. I like them. They're tiny secret things hidden in daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty exciting. That, you know, it's almost like playing Pokemon Go or playing Ingress or something like that, except instead of everything happening on your phone, this secret world of things, you look completely ridiculous in front of strangers, and then you find a physical thing, which is, you know, something that exists in real space. A film canister with things. The two that I found were... one was, and Emily was helping me. Human Combat Chess. Emily was assisting. She and I found a graveyard with little tombstones, like tiny wooden tombstones, for what the person who hid it called travel bugs, which were little toys that you get out of vending machines. Like the little floppy arm dragon that goes on the end of your finger, and a gummy dinosaur, and a parachute soldier, and all of that stuff. Yeah, grr-arg. All of that stuff. But the other one was just like a weird camouflage duct tape that felt weird. That kind of thing. But yeah, we bumped into somebody who was doing gardening and stuff, and he was like, "Oh, did you find it?" I'm like, yeah. He's like, "I don't know what the hell all of this is, but a lot of people come around here looking for something." And we're like, "Oh, it's like a thing, and there's an app." And he's like, "Yeah, I know. That's fine.
I know. I just
I know
don't
what you
care.
Say it is. It doesn't mean that I know what it is.
I right. just don't care."
Yeah, you kids and your Pokemans. Yep. So no, it was really nice. It was a lot of outdoor adventure. I have learned that walking a mile outside right now is gonna tire me out pretty thoroughly, and I also got a bit sunburned.
Is that from the lack of exercise or from allergies?
Probably both.
Both, but yeah, okay.
Probably both, but also just I've been a soft little couch loaf for a year and a half, if not my whole life, and I'm gonna have to build back up to fest distances, I think.
Yeah. I'm not.
By the way, you guys, if you ever want to come lake walking with me,
mm-hmm.
I have lakes to walk around, and I think that's gonna help a lot. So you just let me know. We'll go lake
walking. I think so. I'm gonna be doing a lot of biking pretty quickly here. Yeah, and then also preparing for Dungeon Drawler's macro campaign reward for the Fearless fundraiser. for the fall fundraiser, I was on the team Dungeon Drawlers, and one of our rewards was the micro campaign, which Eric Thompson has already done. We got together, we played a game of 10 candles, and everyone was real sad, and that's the point. I agreed as a fearless thing to do my first stint as a D&D dungeon master. I've never led a D&D campaign ever before, and so this is a brand new experience for me. And I wrote what was a one shot, and then folks were like, "Well, it's the macro campaign, so it's got to be a little bigger than the one shot that we did with Eric Thompson." And I was like, "Oh shit, yeah, it does."
Well,
buddy,
we'll do two sessions, maybe three.
last year, I finished a 2-year campaign. So, if you have any questions,
yes.
Were you DMing?
I was DMing.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So I'm having to learn about how to do the scale of difficulty. Is it the CR?
Yeah.
The challenge rating?
What I would do is I would take the CR.
Yeah.
Throw it out the window.
Yeah.
And pretend like you know what you're doing.
Fuck.
I mean, you can base your first two or three encounters on the CR.
Mm-hmm.
Just see where your players are actually at.
Mm-hmm.
And then just adjust your CR from there. Because you're never going to... Yeah.
Yeah.
the CRs that they have are probably for new people. Oh.
I mean, there's that. There's that. I've played a couple of different systems. I've led a couple of different systems, but most of the systems that I've led were less based in hard numbers and mostly based in ideas that I write down ahead of time or shit that I make up on the fly. And I understand that both of those are time-honored traditions of the Dungeon Master in D&D as well, but I don't know enough to really wing it properly.
And with D&D, right now, there's kind of this almost social contract that you're going to have combats, and that those combats are going to be balanced.
Yes.
And it's hard to wing a balanced combat encounter.
Yeah.
Unless put a thing at it, don't tell them what their hit points are, and then have them die when you think that it's about the right time for them to die.
It's, well, I mean, that's kind of what I've done before. In a campaign that I led, everybody, or like half the party arrived inside a temple, and there was a giant skeleton monster that was made up of the bones that had been lining the ossuary of the temple, and it was just like beating the crap out of them, and they were doing a really good job. And when they do a good job, I reward them by injuring the monster, and when they do something stupid that just isn't character driven, or because stupid but character driven is good, but just like thoughtless smashing for a character who is supposed to be intelligent, I do not reward. But it is a very different experience for me, and I'm pretty nervous about it. But it starts tomorrow night. We're going to be broadcasting our first session tomorrow night, so that's pretty exciting for me.
One thing you can look up is Kobold Fight Club.
I'm building my encounters in that right now. A friend of the podcast, Brianna Cecile, had mentioned that, and I am using the crap out of that. because it also introduced me to a bunch of monsters that I've never.
Right. It's got like every monster, and you can look it up if you've got the book to look it up.
Yeah.
And the first rule of Kobold Fight Club is yip yip.
Yes, and that is what I've read.
So.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about it, and I'll drop a link for it. Even though I don't think this episode is going to go out in time for the first episode, the episode will still be up, and then the second one can be watched live on Saturday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Precisely. All right. Djinns and dragons, yes.
Well, should we take a break?
Are we ready for a break?
Oh, that sweet, sweet leg.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Are we ready for a break?
Oh my God, Steve.
That was perfect, Steve.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. Did Salsa introduce himself and my stream skipped over it?
I will in the future.
I'm James.
I'm Salsa. And we're back.
Are we about ready to get the podcast going again?
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
That lag is wicked.
It is a wicked ass lag. Oh my God.
And I'm Steve.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. No, Christ. I very definitely did not hear the first. Oh. The first.
When are we going to be? Well, I've only said it once. So.
Oh. Ah. Salsa humor.
Yes. I'm apparently when are we gonna in be a back weird in the same mood today.
That's yeah, you are. And the leg isn't helping.
What are we talking about? I kind of like it.
I don't know.
Video games?
What are we doing? Video games?
Yeah.
Video games.
Hey, Steve, you know a lot about video games.
It's almost like this was catered towards the guest.
What? You've been playing your Game Boy? Are you winning, son?
My Genesis system.
Oh yeah, my God.
Playing that Nintendo's.
Yeah, your Sega Nintendo. Yeah,
Sega Nintendo. Mm-hmm. You know, Genesis was the first system that I had.
Oh, same.
I think I bought it with my own two cans.
With, oh, honey, wow.
With mummies in them.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, context is everything.
I mean, at least you didn't buy them with your toes.
Ew.
Or another, or some other body. If you had bought it with your penis, that would have been a problem.
I mean...
So, to remind our listeners, and apparently also the other hosts, Steve is my baby brother. He's younger than me, about 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Which is why we make
I know exactly what
jokes.
I said.
I know, you did, asshole.
You see, this only really affects you.
I know.
So, that means it's prime material.
Why I really should have put more alcohol into my drink this time.
So I think that means James is the only one who hasn't seen his penis.
Yet.
Probably. Oh, God. Oh, why? Why?
I can only see one of Steve's hands right now, so the other one could be on his phone.
It's still time,
it's because
there's
I love
time.
You, Jenna. It's because I love you.
I stop loving me so much. So anyway, Steve, you're a game connoisseur.
I am a game. Well, I play a lot of games. I wouldn't say I'm a connoisseur, but I play a lot of
Look, you're
a
more
lot of
than
games.
I'm going to say more than everybody else on this podcast, and that is saying something. Yeah,
nobody fact
checks. Because we are all.
Steve, nobody fact checks this.
Is I'm a neckbeard and I have no life?
That you have an extra life.
That was the mean way to say. Oh, okay.
Again, nobody fact checks this.
Yeah.
All right. So, Steve,
tell us about the latest games. What have you been up to?
Well, two games have come out recently.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I pre-ordered like as soon as the name dropped.
Mm-hmm. Which one is that?
Subnautica Below Zero.
Oh.
Yes.
Now, the game is the original has probably been mentioned on here before.
I have not played it, but it's on my Steam wish list right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we've talked about it in any depth. I've definitely heard about it in my private life, but not everybody has.
Well, the conceit is you crash land onto an aquatic planet,
mm-hmm.
and you have to survive.
Fair enough.
The basic conceit.
Yeah.
Below Zero is the same conceit. Except you land on the Arctic side instead of the tropical side.
Yeah.
And what you learn is you should really stay off boats for a while.
Yes.
I mean...
spaceships.
Yeah, somebody was telling me that it's all the fun of the original, but now sometimes when you try to surface, you're stuck under the ice.
Yes.
Oh, heavens.
Yes. Yes, there's glacial drift.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get stuck under ice. Like,
mm-hmm.
think about, like, crash landing in the Arctic Circle on Earth. And sometimes trying to get up, there's big, large drifts of ice that have now blacked your path.
Yeah.
So, good luck breathing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the interesting thing about like both of these games is there's this general survival genre, right?
Sure.
Collecting to stay as alive as long as possible.
Yeah. Yes.
Subnautica introduces an endgame and a narrative throughout.
Sure.
But it's a narrative that you discover through the exploration.
Mm-hmm.
They'll leave breadcrumbs, like a radio signal that you might want to investigate. Like distress beacon of all the other people who have crash-landed on the planet. And through that, you get like different lore nuggets or narrative bits, which eventually leads to this narrative... satisfactory narrative ending. So it's a survival game for narrativists.
Sure. Like Raft.
Sure. I didn't realize Raft had an end game. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting concept that I don't think a lot of survival games explore because they're under the idea of, you know, survive as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Until you get bored.
It's like just a
Minecraft
ticking clock.
Experience.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. A lot of survival games have that Minecraft experience where you just dig deeper, create more, and keep going.
Maybe that might be an enormous difference for me between something like Ark and something like Raft. And one of the reasons that I tend to prefer Raft to Ark or 7 Days to Die or Don't Starve, all of that stuff. Because just like you said, those are kind of ticking clocks.
Right. You keep going until there's nothing left to do. And if you don't have like if you can't self-motivate, those games can be very difficult.
Yeah.
Whereas with games like Subnautica and Raft, there's a progression to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is to get a new piece of tech, which I guess like Ark has that kind of thing too, but
yeah.
But you know, getting this new piece of tech and building this new piece of tech, the survival element is going to get you further in the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Motivates you because you want to know what's next in the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think with like a lot of the other survival games, it's just.
So you've been playing this, right?
I have been playing this. I'm about 5-ish hours in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just the tip of the iceberg.
And Below Zero seems to have like 3 separate narratives going on, each that you can tug at. So, whereas the original had like maybe 2 main narratives that all led to the same conclusion, this one seems to have like several different pieces that you need to figure out, and seems like you could do them in order, any order. Seems like you can, like, it's still gated because you need the right tech to do the thing.
Sure.
Which is part of the survival progression. But you can do it in any order. Like, you can get all the tech and then do everything.
Mm-hmm.
You could do all of one narrative and then all of another one, or you could like do each narrative as you progress far enough in the tech to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and it doesn't even look like there's like a preferred way of doing it either. Like, there's no dev intended way. It doesn't feel like
sort of Breath of the Wild like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you really want to, you could take your stick and try and defeat Ganondorf right away.
Uh-huh. And people
it might
do.
Not go too well. Yeah.
And they do.
Because those people are way better at gaming than I am.
Oh, man. Some of the things that I've seen people do lately, fucking nuts. So what's the other game?
The other game is, it's a, well, it's Mass Effect Legendary Edition. Mm-hmm. Which is all 3 of the original Mass Effect games bundled together with all of their DLC.
Oh. Wow.
Yes. There's like 40 pieces of DLC that they've just, here, have this for free as well. Oh, and we did tweaks to the original game to make it
better.
A, less buggy. B, more mechanically sound.
Mm-hmm.
C, we upgraded the graphics and up-resed it to 4K.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So, there's that. So it's nothing new as far as like narrative storytelling, but it's so much prettier.
Okay.
And if none of y'all have played Mass Effect,
it seems like a really good opportunity to get into it.
I played the first 2 Mass Effects.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely seems like a good place for like new people to get into it if they haven't played it.
Sure. It's,
I've actually played more of Below Zero than I've played of Legendary of the Mass Effect because I know the story and
know
how it is. And
yeah,
but from what I played of it, it's definitely prettier.
Mm-hmm.
There seems like Mass Effect 1. At least seems to be a lot smoother and a lot like the mechanics seem more in line with the rest of the other 2 games.
Because
there was a big like shift between 1 and the 2 and 3. 1 was more built like an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
So you were like throwing skill points at things, like you put points into your sniper rifles that your aim is better, so the reticle zooms in better.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't bother kind of get away
so
with that
or things like that.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's a really cool kind of thing, because there's like the XCOM style and the Fallout style RPGs, where a lot of that is kind of invisible. But when you go to do VATS combat, or in XCOM, when you go to do combat, that your chances are increased. But you can still miss, even if your aim is dead on. But with this, it actually like assists you as your character levels up. It assists you and makes the challenge less difficult.
Yeah. I mean, it's things like your head sway is less noticeable, so that you're more accurate, or the your aiming reticle narrows so that your spread is a lot narrower.
Nice.
Mind you, that was the original design. A lot of people like that, because we're used to shooters.
Yeah.
And with Mass Effect 2 was the age of the knee-high walls.
Oh, yeah.
Cover-based.
The cover-based shooters.
Yeah.
So they leaned a lot more into that with 2 and 3.
Both literally and figuratively.
And so they kind of redid 1 to reflect that more.
Oh, sad. I was going to say, like, there's something really amazing about games where you, the player, are leveling up your skill. But that's very common, you know, where even when you have a low-level character, your knowledge of the game, your expertise with it, leads you to be far more successful than someone who has never played it. But in a system where the game itself becomes more responsive and more more controllable as you level up, that's a really different experience.
Yeah, I think it's intriguing from a thought experiment standpoint. But
in practice,
standpoint, it can be very frustrating.
Sure, I can
like
see that.
The XCOM 99% shot. We've all seen that. Mm-hmm. It's become a meme.
Yeah.
Why can't I hit the 99% shot? And that becomes very more apparent when you're actually looking down the barrel of something.
Sure.
I think, like, why can't I hit this thing even though my bullet spread is...
Yeah. Well, and I suppose it also kind of eliminates the fun of leveling up as a player instead of a character.
Yeah.
Or really punishes you more for starting over. Huh.
So they ended up nixing a lot of that. I think a lot of the skill points that you put into that is more like damage based or that kind of thing now.
Sure. Much, much more like out.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely correct that does seem like a good opportunity to delve into it.
If things aren't working for the players, and if you're remodeling the system, might as well try and put some tweaks and fixes where.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
So those are the two big ones that you've been playing?
Yeah, those are the two big ones that I've been playing. I've also got my hands on a VR headset.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so being the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
It's the only exercise I get these days.
It's tough but fair, yeah. 10 hours of Beat Saber.
Pretty much, actually.
Like, that's not terrible.
There's a mod and an app called Your Fit, or You Are Fit.
Oh, sure.
Which will track how many calories you've burned, I think, based off of our movement from your controllers.
Oh, wow.
In VR games.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've actually been using that as, like, a baseline for health and for exercise.
That's pretty awesome. So, how many calories do you usually burn in a day with VR?
If I do, like, half an hour, 45-minute session, I'll burn about 300 calories.
That's really not bad at all.
Yeah. If I do, like, 45 minutes a day, it's 2,100 calories a week.
Jeez.
So.
Yeah.
Now,
there are worse ways to do it.
Yeah. Well, and chances are, like, especially if with things like Beat Saber, where you're moving your body and things like that, there's a good chance that you are burning at least that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if it tries to factor that in or what, but whether it's just factoring in the arm movements. I'm not entirely sure what their algorithm is for how calories I burned, but so it could be less, depending on. But it's a good judge and, you know, just kind of a good way for me to measure. At least I'm doing something.
Yeah.
Right.
That does feel really good. Yeah. I think that's tremendous. What do you usually play in VR?
Usually the Beat Saber.
Usually Beat Saber? Yeah, fair enough.
Beat Saber. I mean, there's Elite Dangerous is a fun one, but that's not... That's not exercise.
No, but it isn't, but wow.
Yeah, having, like, spaceship dogfighting with parallax vision is something else, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Especially in a spaceship with the whole full 6 degrees of movement.
Yeah.
So you've got full translational control.
I've seen people do really nuts shit in that.
Yeah.
Real actual barrel rolls instead of wing overs and that kind of thing. Yeah.
And do, like, Viper, like, Battlestar Galactica maneuvers.
Yeah, just watching people who don't give a shit about the automated docking controls and things like that just, like, skip the line and blow out of the docking stations and that kind of thing. It's fucking...
I sell my docking computer first thing.
I mean, if you can, that's fantastic. Yeah.
You can't. I can just call you a noob.
I mean, you can always call him a noob.
Again, somebody here is a gaming connoisseur.
So do you play that with what some of us call hot ass controls, or do you use mouse and keyboard? Hands on throttle and stick?
I have hoss ass controls.
Hands on stick and stick?
Yeah.
Oh, the dual stick, the dual virtual stick. On.
Yeah.
Cyber sled controls.
Having my hands on one stick ain't enough.
No, you got to get the frothy wall.
Gotta have a stick in each hand.
Yep.
I gotta say, hoss ass control has got to be a Western, you know, slash fix somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not opposed.
Oh no, no, I'm not yucking anyone's.
No, that sounds. That sounds fucking fantastic. So do you have... is it like using a dual stick controller where one of them controls the direction that you're pointed and the other one controls the thrust? Or is it one where it's tank style controls? Like I'm weirdly fucking fascinated about how these work together.
Now, how I've got it set up, I've got one stick which controls... the translational. And one stick that controls the rotational. So my left stick is thrust forward and back, left and right. And then it's also got a Y axis, so I can twist it for up and down.
Yeah.
Translational controls.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The right stick does all my my pitch, and my roll.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's fucking wild.
So if I want to go a direction, I use my left stick. If I want to change the angle of direction, I use the right stick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking amazing. I play Elite Dangerous. I have a couple of other friends who play Elite Dangerous. And some of them are like diehard controller folks. Some of them are super into mouse and keyboard. When I played, I had a controller for combat and then hands on stick and throttle, or hands on throttle and stick for the main, you know, just point to point flying, or for maneuvering in and out of space stations, that kind of stuff. And then had the keyboard and the mouse for refined stuff. And obviously I had to use the mouse for like the turning the head and everything like that, which when you have a VR setup, you don't have to. Oh, I suppose. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, so you have the VR controllers as the sticks for the thing.
Okay.
That's super awesome. Or do you have physical, like, desk-mounted joysticks?
I've got them desk-mounted. One's mounted to, like, a mouse pad, one of those clamp-on mouse pads.
Yeah.
So that's I've got one. Awesome. I've got them positioned pretty much at, like, knee height.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's pretty fucking spectacular. I'll have to check that out. Yeah.
And in case anybody doesn't know what Elite Dangerous is,
oh like, shit!
Never actually described that.
Sorry.
You're given a spaceship, and you're told to go, and you can pretty much that's exactly what it is. It's there's missions you can do, either like dogfighting, space trucking, exploring, passenger. Like taking passengers from one place to another.
You can kind of figure out what
anything you want to do in space, you can.
It's like an updated Escape Velocity.
Or Privateer.
Yeah.
With a long throw box.
Yeah.
So but yeah, it's have spaceship, we'll travel. Mm-hmm. Do whatever.
Nice. It's EVE Online without the spreadsheets.
Yes.
Well, then what's...
Why would you
point?
Have...
Yeah.
Not have spreadsheets? I'm confused.
You can have spreadsheets.
Oh, okay, then. I'm in.
Yeah.
It's just you opt into the spreadsheets.
All right.
Done and done. Yeah. Jenna's all over that. Yeah.
Yeah.
A spreadsheet of Jenna's.
Yes.
Good.
As Joe once said, oh my god, Jenna, even your games look like spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of Dwarf Fortress?
Huh?
So a lot of Dwarf Fortress.
I mean, he was talking about Sudoku, but or possibly Picross.
Yeah. Tents and Trees.
Yeah. Tents and Trees, yeah.
All of those, really, yeah. A lot of, yep. A lot of grid-based games. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Minesweeper.
Also that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have to download that onto my phone.
There's one that's a cube.
Cube sweeper?
Yeah, so it wraps around the edges of the cube. It's real difficult.
Nope.
That's interesting.
I'm for it.
Yeah.
But we should probably take a break instead.
Yes. Okay. I think we'd better had.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a little bit.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing.
You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing. Oh, you are done. Oh. Okay.
Well, in that case, we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I am the Steve.
And I'm Salsa.
Hey, Steve.
Oh my God, Salsa.
And I'm James.
No, I'm not playing this game.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Salsa.
And I'm James.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Jenna.
No, you are not.
And I'm saying,
My beard is much more luxurious, thank you.
That's accurate.
Well, I think Jenna's got a Fast Five.
Fast Five, but no,
Fast
I don't.
Five? Jenna has one?
Yeah.
You said that you were Jenna,
you
James.
You said that you were Jenna.
Oh,
this
okay.
Is what happens when y'all okay. fuck with the hosting order.
I forgot that Salsa was yes. in the future.
You got a yes and Mother this shit, James.
Yes, and I do have a Fast Five.
So we're going to start the podcast back up, right?
No. No, this is just for us.
Fuck.
Oh, okay.
Oh, goddamn.
Greetings, Apropostures, and buckle up for the sex. It's right. The Late to the Podcast Show with Salsa Sterling.
All right. James.
All right. Question number one. Radio or key?
Radio or key?
Mm-hmm.
I prefer...
Okay, so this is a James question. This go ahead, Salsa.
I prefer listening to other people play music rather than playing the music myself.
Ah.
Okay.
Like keyboard.
Excellent.
I'm going to say radio because radio keyed the video star.
Oh, wow. That was a Kyle joke.
You're welcome.
Do you know why I get upset with you, James?
sometimes.
This is my childhood. This is.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
I am both sorry and I'm not stopping.
No, that's fair. That's all fair and accurate. Okay, so radio or key?
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather listen to pre-recorded music, or would you rather go out to listen to a concert? I'm using key here as in at a concert sometimes they'll change the key.
Mm-hmm.
Or might be off key as opposed to a pre-recorded segment where if they pre-recorded it and it's not good, then they fucked up. So,
also,
yeah.
If you leave your house, you need to lock the front door with a key.
Right? See, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm thinking there's a lot of ways that James could have esoteric to this one. So, I'm going with... Mm-hmm.
None of which we have
general,
discerned.
Right. Mm-hmm. But in general, I would rather listen to music... on my own time, at my own leisure, unless there's a concert where I know somebody is going to be incredibly entertaining. Like Lindsay Sterling was fantastic.
Oh, sure.
Because she puts on a goddamn show.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even then, it wasn't as much about the music as it was the show. If I want to listen to music, I'm usually going to do the pre-recorded stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say I won't go out and support my friends when they're in bands, because I love that. But it's, again, it's, I'm not really there for the music. I'm there for my friends.
Yeah.
My friends just happen to also play really good music, so.
It helps.
Eh?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Twofer.
Huh?
It's a twofer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going radio.
All right. And question number two. I'm going to go with radio, by the way. Question number two. Space or island?
I would rather be stranded on an island than out in space.
I was about to say the exact same thing.
Because islands have food and resources.
And people pass space them occasionally.
Has protons and more photons. And the occasional helium, but mostly photons.
I was about to say, maybe this is less about survival and more about you get to take like an oh my god, like you win a sweepstakes vacation. And island. You can take a trip to an island or a trip out into space. And I'm still going with island because I don't think I actually want to have anything to do with space. I don't like heights. And space seems really, really high.
Yes.
Like a suborbital cruise, I would prefer.
I think my thing is that, like, I have pressure issues with my ears, so I'm like, I don't want any of it.
So there is actually, I can't remember who, but one of the astronauts was like afraid of heights, and he basically said that once you reach a certain height, you're no longer high. You're just
there's
out there.
No frame of reference for height in it. Once frame of reference for height, there's
Yeah, but it's the getting up there and the coming back down. That's
Getting up there, you're usually got fire out your windows because you're going fast for the atmosphere to burn.
You can't actually see the height. You just see that your ship is burning up outside.
Yeah, your ship is on fire, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm still going island.
With an island, there's a reasonable, low though it may be, chance that there may be some ancient ruins or something interesting to explore. I feel like that's not going to happen in space.
Like, space itself, pretty boring, actually.
Right.
Suborbital cruises, which is technically space, but not, like, far enough to actually break an orbit, would be cool. But
I mean, unless we're talking about, like,
space
Star
out
Trek.
There.
In which case, that changes things drastically.
Oh, if there's a holodeck, that might change everything for
me. Yeah, you could be on an island in space.
In a holodeck, yeah.
If there's a rigid militaristic system which is controlling half of the galaxy, then maybe.
Oh, so you are dystopian next gen. All right.
All right. We see where you landed.
I've seen the episodes of DS9 where, like, the government was taken over by military.
Yeah.
Because
fair enough.
Things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so islands pretty much all around?
Seems
I'm choosing space.
Ooh. He knows something we don't.
Well, yes.
That's how this works, Steve.
Damn it, Steve.
God, I hope he does know the contact.
He knows one thing we don't know.
What's the next question, James?
Question number three. Weight or spring?
Weight or spring?
Weight or spring?
When I'm playing video games, I will wait and wait and wait and wait for just the right moment rather than springing to action and just going crazy.
Mm-hmm. James, can you spell wait for us?
Several different ways, but in this particular instance, it's W-E-I-G-H-T.
Okay.
But Salsa is correct that the wordplay is intentional, but no, it is the gravity kind.
All right, so wait or spring? Wait or spring? Spring.
Like, I'm kind of getting a sense of, like, Deadfall versus, like, a portal, like, bouncy system.
Right.
I'm gonna go with spring because it's more mechanically complex.
Yeah, I was thinking of the mechanics angle. You know what? Springs just sound like more fun. Fuck it. Spring.
There's pollen in the spring. I hate the spring.
I'm going with wave. Okay.
Tough but fair.
All right. James?
I am going to choose weight.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Do you have another question for us?
I do. It is question number 4. Wool or grass?
I prefer the texture of grass to the texture of wool in general.
Wool.
I like both of these things.
I would rather have wool socks on my feet in the winter than grass under my feet in the summer.
Oh.
Oh, well, then I'm going grass for that context.
Yeah, I already picked grass, but I'm maintaining grass.
I am a barefoot kid.
yeah, you are.
I hate grass because you got to maintain it. Ugh.
You have to maintain wool too, though. It's called washing machines.
And not dryers.
Oh,
and not dryers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oh no. Oh no. So grass, wool, and James?
I'm choosing wool.
All right.
Split vote.
Question number 5. Fuck or cheat?
Fuck.
Why would you do this, James?
Would you rather do something over and over again to the point of swearing in a video game, or just cheat and get through it?
Oh, that could very well be the context.
In which case, I'm enabling God mode.
I'm going to say fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not for cheating in general. Like in my personal life, although I'm not going to say I haven't put in cheat codes for like The Sims when I want to play it from that angle.
Sure.
Because sometimes you just want to build a motherfucking house.
Sometimes you do.
Yeah.
I'm going to say cheat, but the contextual thing of single player, if it's a video game context, is...
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Multiplayer, if it's only you're choosing your parameters.
For your fun, which is...
Yeah.
But that might not be the context, so...
It might not be.
I am choosing cheat.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. All right. So that was all 5 questions. The context is question number 1, radio or key. Which vintage alarm clock might you actually use? A clock radio or a wind-up alarm clock?
Clock radio.
Clock radio.
I've used both in conjunction with them with each other.
Yeah? It was a wind-up radio?
The wind-up clock actually wakes you up, while the radio keeps you awake.
Ah, fair enough. You keep the radio by the bed, and then you keep the wind-up clock across the room to hit with your slipper.
You keep the wind-up clock next to you, so the giant bell wakes you up. The radio is across the room, so you actually have to get up and turn it off. At that point, hitting the snooze doesn't make any sense.
I use a radio clock now, or a radio alarm clock now, so.
I mean, I use my Google Assistant.
Yeah, I use my phone tablet, which I guess is closer to a radio, or
I have mine set to play sounds, though. Like, I have a whole routine.
Mm-hmm.
And first, like a half an hour before I want to get up, it starts by playing bird noises quietly. And my bedroom lamp turns on to like 50%. And then when the alarms go off, my first one is just a little beepy beepy one. And then my second one is a music one. And sometimes I have a third one, which is an, oh my God, you're going to die one. Wow. I don't morning well. But yeah.
Fair enough.
But I'm going to go radio because I just prefer it.
Yeah. I like to fall asleep with a radio, like clock radio. Okay. Question number two, space or island? If you were to enter into a $1 million challenge to win a large competition, would you prefer to enter into an Among Us tournament or a virtual Survivor island?
What was the first one?
Playing Among Us.
I'm guessing that's the space one.
What's that?
That is the space one.
Oh, yeah.
There are some Among Us where you're actually landing on a planet. But...
No, Among Us is all in the spaceship. And... Yeah, you're just trying to figure out who did it.
Yeah, it's... Salsa, if you've ever played the card game Mafia or Werewolf, it's very similar, but people have... little jobs to do to keep them busy while they try to figure out
that one. Okay.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
The other one is a VR Survivor Island.
I guess I'd do that then.
Okay.
I think I'd be more likely to win in Among Us.
Yeah.
Because I did play Werewolf so much growing up.
Jen and I are damn dirty liars.
Yes.
And we're very good at being damn dirty liars.
We grew up with the Bruce children, and their father is no longer allowed to play poker tournaments in Minnesota.
That is amazing.
He won
Holy
two
shit.
Times. They told him to get out.
Yeah, he would go to Canterbury and just clean up.
That's fucking fantastic.
Yep. So Steve and I both have the skills for bluffing and diversion and the rest of that.
The question is, though, prefer not going in there to win. Mind you, I would prefer to win the $6 million.
Right.
So,
I mean, that's why.
So I think I might go with the Among Us just for the
right.
I'd probably have more fun with the VR island, but I'd still prefer to win.
And I chose the wrong one. I should have picked island instead of space because I only just... Because I was thinking about it in sheer numbers that like a tournament of Among Us would be a series of small, quick games, right? Where Survivor would be a longer experience. But
Survivor is an endurance challenge.
It is. It's one endurance challenge. But the other thing is, I'm fucking terrible at Among Us because at some point I am going to, I am absolutely going to get murdered, or I am going to fail to murder others, and this has happened repeatedly. I am an absolutely terrible saboteur.
Whereas I have murdered somebody in a crowd of three people and gotten off.
I mean, if that's how you get off, I'm not here to kink shame you. But I would probably do better in a Survivor style elimination challenge rather than an Among Us elimination challenge. Okay, so everybody. Got in on that one. Question number three, weight or spring? if you were going to create a marshmallow launcher, would you prefer trebuchet or catapult? Trebuchets, which
for a marshmallow catapult, a torsion catapult, clearly.
Okay.
Trebuchet, you get far more distance.
Not with a marshmallow. Marshmallow is so light, it's gonna fluff no matter what. You really want the oomph at the front end.
I challenge you to a trebuchet versus catapult.
I'm fascinated by this. I do want to see this.
With a heavy weight, a trebuchet will win every single time. But because the marshmallow mm-hmm. is lighter, the whip...
Well, the marshmallow isn't the weight.
The weight is
a brick.
No, I know. The trebuchet lofts things.
Yeah, and it's also saying that the spring action of a catapult has a limited...
What I'm saying is a trebuchet throws things much further, but it works by lofting them. And with a marshmallow, it doesn't have enough weight. It doesn't have enough... The marshmallow, when it lofts, is going to lose momentum very quickly. You need that initial oomph of a torsion catapult to get a marshmallow further out there before it loses inertia.
I still want to challenge you to a competition.
All right.
I'm about this.
I'm just going to sit in the back and eat marshmallows watching. Yes. Yes, I want to see this.
Yeah, I'm just going to cram my face full of marshmallows.
Okay, well, the two of them are having their competition. James, you and I are doing Chubby Bunny.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, done. But if we get to a point where we can't say Chubby Bunnies anymore, we just eat more marshmallows.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, high five.
I'm 100% for this. High five.
If you lose, you have to finish the bag of marshmallows.
No deal.
Well, that's going to be a race to the bottom.
Right.
No deal. I withdraw.
Oh, jeez. No, I can't say.
The Chubby Bunny Challenge.
Chubby Bobbies.
The Chubby Bunny Challenge. You have to finish the marshmallow. That's still going to be a race to the bottom. I don't think either James or I care about that.
Yeah, no.
We're just going to eat the marshmallows.
Yeah, we might race through the marshmallows. That's the competition.
See, but if you win, you get to finish your bag of marshmallows.
Oh, if you win, you get to...
If you win, you get to finish your bag of marshmallows. If you lose, you have to finish your bag of marshmallows.
This is my kind of competition, honestly.
Exactly.
Am I eating the full bag of marshmallows?
Yes.
Yes.
Then
whether
I don't
you win or lose, you're going to have to eat the full bag of marshmallows.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In one case, it's your gold medal, and in the other case, it's your participation trophy.
So I'm going weight.
Yeah. I understand what Salsa is saying, and I
just don't know if his physics holds up.
The air resistance is going to slow down a marshmallow because it is so light. So you need to get it further before it loses speed.
But you're not going to get height. You're not going to get the right arc, which means that you're going to lose distance that way.
You're going to get a lot more directional force with a torsion catapult, whereas with the trebuchet, you're going to get loft. And I think I think it's going to lose that forward momentum due to air resistance on a loft sooner.
I want the listeners to weigh in on this.
You're going to get that
or spring in
directional
on this?
Vector further before it loses that.
It's farther if it's distance.
Please comment to tell us what you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And give us the most complex equations you can to let us know.
I mean, it also depends on if you've got the big marshmallows or the little marshmallows, and it also depends on the distance we're talking about.
Or the homemade marshmallows, which are a lot denser.
Ooh. Oh, no, we need to go with a standard marshmallow either way.
It needs to be because homemade marshmallows are going to be different. You're going to have different densities.
But I think Steve is correct that maybe we
like Stay Puffed.
We score them in. Yeah.
But again,
I mean, we could have like three separate categories to.
Yes. Yeah.
Look, there's an awful lot of science that needs to be done this summer when we can all do this together.
I wholeheartedly endorse this.
Marshmallow science is the best science.
That is absolutely true.
It also, like, if you're using a life-size trebuchet and a little mousetrap catapult, clearly you're going to have a difference there as well. I mean, there needs to be like some
weight
sort
limits
of...
For science
exactly,
limits
you need some standardization between the different siege engines as well, so...
But science must be had this summer.
So I did this thing where I looked up how to launch a marshmallow. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the majority of people are building catapults.
Sure.
Okay.
However, I also got instructions on how to make a marshmallow catapult, which is a catapult made out of marshmallows.
This is the superior one right there. This is the winner.
Okay, yeah, that's got to be the winner.
I feel like I have just found the answer. No. It doesn't even matter what
question. Is marshmallow catapult.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody wins.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
Okay.
Question number four. Wool or grass? Which is your preferred land claiming and building game, Catan or Carcassonne? Catan, famous for trading wood for sheep, wool, or Carcassonne, which is about capturing large parcels of grass.
I'm a Catan man myself.
Yeah, I've got to go with wool. Which, actually, wool is the correct term, even though everything has a sheep on it. It's still just wool.
Wood for sheep.
Yeah.
Everybody says wood for sheep, but technically it's wrong.
Yeah, but comedically...
I know.
It's correct.
I own both, but I play Catan more.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even remember the rules to Carcassonne.
I haven't played Carcassonne in ages.
It's a lot of counting at the end. Like, the thing is, very little setup on the front end. Very very few rules,
like,
really.
Is Carcassonne playing the tiles as you play?
Yeah, you're building the world as you play.
And you're trying to build a wall or something? Or
you're trying to build areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, and block
kind of
other people.
Fortresses and stuff like that.
But it's very different from Catan, where the areas are already defined, and you're just trying to get out to them and get the most victory points right away.
We can all agree that the bandit is an asshole.
Well, see, this is where my luck stat comes in, and I've had problems with the thief, but like. Very frequently, that works in my favor. More often than not. So we've got, four votes for Catan?
Yeah.
I think we have Catan.
Yeah, because like Carcassonne, I really appreciate that it's very little setup, but also I like the complexity of Catan.
Oh yeah, it's
and the trading element.
Nobody is saying it's not.
I
a
do
game.
Like trading.
Yeah. So there's that, and then question number five: fuck or cheat? Which is your preferred pre-printed card game? Cards Against Humanity, which has several cards which say fuck, or Munchkin, which has several cards that say cheat.
Munchkin.
Cards Against Humanity. Although I'd rather play Apples to Apples. Or Cards Against Shakespeare is actually quite fun. Mm-hmm. But my daughter went through a Munchkin phase and I got Munchkined out real quick.
I'm going to say that it depends more on the player base than the actual game. Because if you've got the wrong player base for Cards Against Humanity...
Yeah.
And one could argue if you're playing Cards Against Humanity, you've got the wrong player base.
I mean, ideally.
And if you're playing Munchkin with the wrong kind of players, then nobody will reach your fast level one.
I feel like I had fun with Cards Against Humanity the first four times I played it, because it was interesting and new, and then it just became it became a less funny vill.
Yes. Sure.
And, yeah. And it lost the luster. Whereas Munchkin,
I can
still play Munchkin and get enjoyment out of that.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I think, some of the shine to the Jackbox games where you fill in the blank, like Quiplash, because that uses your skill to fill in. It's effectively Cards Against Humanity, but you never have a deck of cards.
Cards Against
You're
Humanity,
just filling in.
Cards. Their whole thing was shocking you. And and
there's a point at which it's no longer shocking.
Exactly, and it was shocking for those first three or four playthroughs, and then it became, oh, okay, we're just trying to get a rise out of people again. Cool.
Well, and then there were the thousand copies, the snow clones of Cards Against Shakespeare. There were Crabs Adjust Humidity. There was innumerable Cards Against Humanity expansions and things like that in order to continue shocking you with more and more.
And I also was
go ahead, Steve.
I think I'd rather play a Cards Against Humanity type game.
Sure.
Than a Munchkin type game, though.
That's also very fair.
Okay, no, I can see where you're coming from on that one. Which is why I think, like Jenna said, apples. Is probably the best one out of all of those.
It was the original.
Yeah, but it is vague enough and open enough to interpretation that you really can let the personalities come through and things like that. Whereas Cards Against Humanity was like, I'm shoving this gross thing in your face. Look how gross it is. I'm shocking you.
A Cards Against Humanity game is also a game where you can jump into a lot easier because there's
That makes a ton of sense.
Whereas Munchkin, you need to explain the cards
from the beginning
how to door.
But the problem
what
is
to do when you bash down a door.
But the thing with Munchkin is, if you aren't an experienced gamer, then Munchkin, like, the whole point is to be a satire. And satire doesn't work if you aren't familiar with the source material.
Not always true. There are people who absolutely loved Galaxy Quest who have never watched an episode of Star Trek.
But they're still aware.
There are people who love Men in Tights who have never watched a Robin Hood.
But they're still aware.
Isn't that sort of an argument toward...
Sure. I mean, kind of, yeah.
There is still a cultural awareness.
See, that sounds like an argument towards...
An argument of what?
That sounds like an argument towards Cards Against Humanity.
No.
I mean,
I don't think so, because kind I think of. The people that are playing it are going to get the joke. And those are the kind of people I am going to play with anyway, and the question was, what game do I like playing? And I like playing games where, I like playing with
I like playing games with a variety of different people, though, so it's like...
That's fair.
I like turtles.
So,
I like turtles.
Again, I think it comes down to the player base at that point, then.
That's fair. And honestly, it really depends on the party that I'm at, but based on the kinds of friends that I have and the parties that I usually attend, let's put it that way, probably Munchkin, especially because Cards Against Humanity can be a really good... cooperative game, as far as like making, not counting the points. You just play until people are bored and then you're done. And honestly, that is the way to play Cards Against Humanity or similar games. But with Munchkin, for me, the game started to be, how do I make lots of people win? How do I get as close to everyone winning at the same time as possible? And you would be surprised how many people jump on board with that. And especially if you don't do that right away, but you just like slowly, slyly, you're leveling people up, you're helping people out, you're asking for cooperation and that kind of thing. And then everybody gets to the like a gigantic monster that will give enough levels and everything like that, where you're just like, all right, everybody. And like technically it's
This is fundamentally the difference between you and me, James, is you're like, I want to help everybody have a good time, and I'm like, I want to win.
Well, like...
I feel like James is playing basketball. Like, the rest of the game kind of doesn't matter up until the last couple of points.
And it's really boring. And
I mean, there's that.
And I want to stab myself in the eyeballs while it's happening.
Ah, yes.
Hey,
basketball
Austin,
is hockey without ice.
And not watch a basketball game together?
Yes.
I would love that. Yeah.
Excellent.
You know, we could get together and not watch baseball, and they have beer and brats.
I would rather not
or
watch the Super Bowl.
Or wine?
If there's something I'm not going to watch, it's going to be the Super Bowl, because the food. Mm-mm.
That's fair.
I'm mostly in it for the ads that people make, but I do enjoy the Super Bowl.
I like watching a good game of football. The problem is that not every game of football is a good game.
Not every game of football is a good game. Yeah.
Also, I know they're padded, but I don't care. Dem butts.
Yeah. Yeah. There is that. Yeah.
Was that five?
So that was the last one.
All right.
That was.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should include the choices, and the second one repeat those choices, and then give us context. Who has a shout-out?
Ooh. I want to give a shout-out to vaccines.
Yes.
Because even though this second shot totally kicked my ass this week, still better than getting or passing on COVID. So I'm in.
Tough but fair.
Yep, that's what I got.
I'm going to give a shout out to modern technology that allows me to work from home. Because
also a solid decision.
I'm allowed to work from home. Our bosses have said that we don't have to come into the office unless we want to, and I don't want to.
Nice.
Legitimate. I would like to give a shout out to Merlin's for making delicious pies. And now you get, I don't know how long they've been doing this, but when you order a pie that you pop into the oven, it comes with a magnet that has the instructions on it. A little refrigerator magnet.
Aww.
Which is such a fucking great idea. We were so surprised and delighted by that.
You can adhere it right to your stove.
Yes.
Could.
Yeah, the hood of the
actually, Merlin's has those awesome pens that are also styluses.
Yes.
I have so many of those.
Styluses.
Stylize.
You're a stylusy.
No, styli is the game with the scoops.
No. Steve, do you have a shout-out?
I'm going to give a shout-out to Virtual Tabletops.
Ooh.
We talked earlier about D&D, and with this whole bullshit pandemic thing, it's hard to have, like, a sense of community.
Right.
But being able to sit down every week or every other week and play a tabletop game virtually can do a lot to alleviate that.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree.
All right.
Yeah, good.
does anybody have anything to plug?
Not my own personal thing, but as I've been doing, I've got things to plug. This Thursday at 7:30 p.m., Seven Deadly Sins Soiree 2021. It is a fundraiser for the Twin Cities Horror Festival, where they have seven different companies. Each one gets a sin, and they make a horror piece based off of the sin that they're giving, I believe. They also have a silent auction going on, and that is live right now. I will share the event, but you can also find out more information about all of that at, I think it's TwinCitiesHorrorFestival.com or HorrorFest.com. I'm looking for the website link, and they don't have it here. Anyway. But yeah, you can Google Twin Cities Horror Festival and you can find all the information on it too. So, and yeah, that will help raise funds so that we can have a horror festival this year. Woo!
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Twin Cities Horror Fest is pretty consistently full of shows worth watching.
It's incredible. One of the things that you can win in the silent auction, by the way, is you can win a, I think it was like 5 minutes or something, of Reverend Matt doing something, doing a topic or a creature specific to your request.
That's amazing.
I would bid just to have Reverend Matt just speak for 5 minutes.
Right.
Just
keep hiring him to narrate shows, but, you know.
This is a solid decision, like, and I wholly endorse it.
The time-honored, you know, question is, you know, who would you want to narrate a biopic of your life? You know, like Morgan Freeman or, you know, Alan Rickman or something like that. And it's like, no, I want Kesson to do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know if I told you, friends, I bought that man a gift that I still need to drop off. It is a small plastic train that is dinosaurs. It is a toy train that moves on its own.
Like Dinosaur Train? Like the kids show?
Yeah.
Different from that.
I was thinking like
it's a bunch of T-Rexes following each other.
Dinosaur
train. So it is like Dinosaur Train.
Oh. Well, all right.
Dinosaur Train.
I know right. Nothing about any
Once
of this,
time,
but
was
okay.
A mom. Her name was Mrs. Pteranodon.
Well, this sounds
nest,
amazing.
She scratch. She said, "Oh boy, my eggs are hatching."
It's anyway, this Thursday at 7:30 p.m.
I have kids.
Yes.
Seven Deadly Sins Soiree. Online event. Check it out.
Brilliant. Tomorrow and Saturday, tomorrow evening starting around 6, and then Saturday afternoon starting just after 2, there will be live streams on the Fearless Twitch and some YouTubes and other things. Facebook also, paying off the reward for the macro campaign. We reached the correct funding for the macro campaign last fall, and so I will be doing my first ever Dungeons & Dragons DMing stint, and I wrote a campaign, friends, so you know it's gonna be weird.
It's going to be a campaign.
Yes.
It's going to be weird. We'll see how it goes. I might be fucking terrible at this, but I sure am going to try hard.
Oh,
so I hope
better,
you're there
James.
With me.
That'll make it even
yeah.
better.
It super will. That's what I've heard.
Just watching you crash and burn is just hilarious to me.
That's what Vil has taught me, yes. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm glad we're on the same page. Anyone else?
I would like to plug Dinosaur Train.
Yes, that's a tremendous.
I don't know where you can find it.
PBS.
But Google it. It's got to be somewhere.
PBS Kids.
Okay. There you go. Okay.
Well, all right.
And the PBS Kids app.
Good.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh. Shit, God, I know what I'm watching tomorrow.
For everything now.
I have kids.
And yeah, I'm definitely watching that tomorrow during work.
And the train goes through the different prehistoric periods, yes. So you can mingle all the dinosaurs together.
Yes, they go through time tunnels.
The best
tunnels.
Plan.
The train goes through time tunnels.
Yeah. Yes.
With Mr. Conductor, the Velociraptor, who punches the punches the train tickets with his claw.
With his little... Yep, that's so good. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
Okay, maybe me.
I'm about this. All right.
Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I wanted to say bye, bye, I love you. Bye, 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 bye.
In that case, thank you so very, very much to everyone for listening to this episode. Thank you to Steve for being our special guest.
I'm okay, I guess.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.